Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Knockoff Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoff Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton. Hi, JT.
Kenneth, what's the frequency, buddy? How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I cut hay all day today, so I'm a little tired. If I throw in a yawn, well, you'll have to forgive me.
Well, if it sounds like I'm recording inside a grain silo, that's because the thunderstorms knocked out my internet router last night, so I'm having to record on my cell phone from my backyard.
JT, if you want off the podcast, you can just ask, man. Like, you don't have to keep, like, I'm having internet trouble, my microphone's not working.
I was told I had to put in a 2 weeks notice, and you would make me honor it, so I haven't typed it up yet, but we'll see.
Okay. I hear that Mansplain Baseball podcast could use some more people. I'm just saying, if you
ready and willing when they are.
Oh, are you now? Are you?
I'm sure they'll have me on in a heartbeat.
Hey, blue hair, don't care. But JT, finally,
that's what my grandma says.
That's what your grandma says. Hey, my wife dyed her hair purple this week. It looks awesome.
Well, all right.
It's not all purple. She's got a beautiful little purple streak kind of hidden in the back. So,
girls do that, and girls can always pull it off. Like, if I just put a purple streak in my hair, yeah, there is no way you guys will let me live that down.
Well, like, let's be honest, JT. I don't have any hair, but yeah. You just take you some war paint, like paint a stripe down the middle, and we'll be awesome looking.
Yeah, like if John Howard just showed up with like a purple streak in his hair, we would not let him live that down.
That's
girls
probably
pull
true.
It off, and it's not a problem. You know what I mean? Girls go pink hair, purple hair. Nobody says anything. But like, if Josh Brown showed up with like a green streak in his hair, we'd be like, "What are you doing?"
To be fair, some people do say things. They just don't say it to their face. Like,
yeah,
like on Twitter, if someone posts a picture of them with crazy colored hair, it's not that no one says anything. It's just no one says anything to their face. And then if it's girls, it's like 85 thirsty guys saying, "Oh my God, your hair looks amazing. Oh my God, your hair looks amazing."
And 99% of the time, girls can pretty much pull off whatever they want to do.
They
with
can.
Their,
it's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like,
sure, because they have boobs.
Guys don't really care.
And butts.
Yeah.
And at that point, guys really don't care about the rest. I mean, they do, but, you know, I'm just saying, thirsty guys don't care about the rest. Let's put it
how many times has your wife gotten a haircut and you didn't notice? Like, that happens all the time, right? She has haircut.
Yeah, I plead the fifth
because
I'm
like,
not self-incriminating. She does occasionally listen to these, so like I've always noticed JT every single time. I promise
you have
I've
to.
Never,
you have to.
Never missed it.
Whenever she says, "Notice anything different," say, "Oh my gosh, your hair looks so great." Just go with that.
Yeah, and then if she's like, "I didn't get my haircut," and you're like, "Oh, well, it just looks amazing today." That's what you say.
But it does look great. You have a great hair day today.
Yeah.
There you go. You're covered.
Yeah, well, for a little while anyway. you get like one of those misses. You can swing and a miss about once a year, and that's about all you get.
Yeah.
As long as it's not super important. I know you're celebrating an anniversary this week.
Right.
Or celebrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, coming up Monday. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Coming up on Monday. So I got to go to an expensive restaurant and buy like overpriced ravioli.
Nice.
Yeah, it should be good. Should be a fun night out. You know, nice little place right down the road. It's a good Italian spot, so I feel like a mobster when I eat there. You know, I feel like I'm in Goodfellas.
It's really
cool. Yeah.
Do you carry a ballpoint pen in your pocket just so you can click it and feel like Joe Pesci?
I do.
Like, you're just waiting for the moment that you can just stab somebody in the arm about 13 times and then in the neck and be like, "I am the greatest. What'd you say about me? What'd you say about me?"
Go feed your mother. I hope they give me a dark corner booth so I can really feel like the mob boss. You know, I'm gonna wear a tie just for the hell of it. You know, and just to get that Goodfellas vibe. I love it. Because usually, if I get Italian, it's at the Olive Garden, and it doesn't have the same mobster feel at the Olive Garden.
No, it really doesn't. It's like grandma's mobsters. You know, it's
like
it's like the blue hair patrol. But you know, like if you if you go, JT, you really need to like get a little video of you replicating the Ray Liotta laugh at the table. You know what I'm saying? Like where he's like dying. Yeah, like where he's cracking up.
Do the big cackle, like hand over the chest, like falling backwards.
Yeah, that's the full on JT.
I amuse you.
Yeah.
What am I, a clown? Oh yeah.
Dance, pow, 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 pow. If you pull out a gun in the middle of your anniversary dinner, is that a good thing?
I would try not
to. Yeah.
For the most part, it's a bad thing, yeah.
It seems right.
Frowned upon.
Speaking of TV and patrols and weird things, did I hear you say something about Paw Patrol being canceled? What?
Yeah, apparently they're taking Paw Patrol TV because one of the dogs is a police officer. Chase
Wait,
is on the case.
What?
Apparently,
oh my God.
Cancel culture has gotten to Paw Patrol.
How stupid.
Now keep in mind, there's a police firefighter, there's like a rescue dog, there's all sorts of different, they're all public servants, basically,
yes.
All the dogs. So
people
whenever
that have jobs
in danger,
that you want to be praised and like high,
yes,
you want people in these jobs. You, oh my god, cancel culture.
To quote a few good men, you want them on the wall, you need them on the wall, and that's the thing. People have forgotten in all the hysteria and the hoopla of what has happened over the past few weeks. People forget that police officers, on the whole, are necessary and decent and
most
look, they don't get paid enough for what
they
do. So
yeah, I know some cops that are lazy butts, you know, like I do. I know some like that.
Sure.
But for the most part, they're the best of us, you know, they're the people that said, I'm going to work my butt off so that other folks, when they're hurt and sick and on fire and all kinds of other stuff, I'll be there. I'll be the wolf that growls back. You know, when the wolf growls at the door, I'll be the wolf that growls back. And like, that's not a bad thing, people. Like, I don't understand criticizing the office, because you know a guaranteed way to get worse cops to be cops? Make it so no good people with a brain want to be a cop because you
want to
demonize them.
Want to be cops, right?
Yeah. I know I was listening to a streamer this week who is a real-time cop, and he plays on a Grand Theft Auto role-play server thing where people pretend to be the characters and they have lives and create their own stories and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, he's like the head police officer.
Wow, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. It's actually kind of cool. But he's the head police officer on there, or one of them. But in his day job, he is an actual cop, okay? And he is a black man. And he said, I have been called the most racist things by black people. Now, this is his quote. I've been called the most racist things by black people that I've ever been called in my entire life in the last 2 weeks. And, like, I feel for that dude. He's like, I don't wake up in the morning trying to figure out how to violate your rights. I wake up in the morning, I go to my job, and I try to figure out how to help you. You know, like, and... Yes, sometimes that means we have to do things that are unpleasant, but I'm not that dude. I'm not the dude that killed those people. That's an idiot dude. Like, we're not all that way, you know? And then the media...
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they're not canceled. Tons of doctors do bad things and kill people all the time, and they're not taking, reruns of House off of TV.
Exactly.
And
he killed... House is
think
probably
of
the
a
worst
guy
doctor
like
you've
like
ever seen.
Right. One of my best friends from childhood's a state trooper. I think a buddy like my, Mark Hampton, who you know is an awesome dude. And to be honest with you, a lot of these guys don't get paid enough for the fact that they walk out the door not knowing if they might get shot in the face.
That's right.
And never come back home. So, hats off to them, because I'm glad they have to do it. When I left college, I went to police academy because I was like, whatever, it's $30,000 a year and they give me a gun. That's awesome. It's more money I've ever made. And seeing what some of these guys go through, like getting pepper sprayed in the face and all that junk, it worked out the way it worked out. They ended up having a hiring freeze and they couldn't bring me on. And I was really bummed about it. But looking back, I'm like, man, you know what? I don't know if I could do that. I've got three kids at home and I don't know if I could go through the mental anxiety and seeing the things you have to see and doing the things you have to do and knowing the reality of the situation that every time you pull somebody over for a traffic stop, you'd never know what might happen. It might be the last time you pull somebody over. So
I live in
I'm glad we've got good dudes like that. They'll look out for us.
I live in Podunk, Livonia, Georgia. And a year and a half ago, I left Zaxby's And about 5 minutes after I left Zaxby's, the cops pulled over a car that had been running from them on interstate. He pulled into the Zaxby's parking lot. They walk up to give him a ticket. The dude shot one of them in the face and one of them in the shoulder. They like to have died. And they're like two local cops, you know, like, and
right.
Man, I mean, they weren't doing anything but their job. You know, this guy, apparently he was wanted it due to another shooting issue. And, you know, I mean, look, was what happened up there horrible? Absolutely. Condemn that guy. I think most America is condemning that guy for being an idiot and doing it. I mean, like, I've never seen America protest and cancel things and go so crazy about something that 98% of the population agreed with. Like, I think everyone that saw that video agreed that dude should go to jail. You know what I mean? Like I don't think there was any mass cover up.
And imagine.
And I was even mad that the coroner's report
was weird. And going to jail because you're a white cop that killed a black man. Imagine how fun your trip to prison is going to be, buddy.
Fun for you, right?
Whew. Man, you thought Jeffrey Dahmer had it bad in prison, and it's about to be real bad for you.
His wife is divorcing him. Yeah, I mean, his whole world fell apart, and you know, I even put myself in his shoes, and I'm like, God, could I have made a decision that stupid? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But that being said, it's still by the law, the dude should still be in jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care if it was a stupid decision. You call someone else their life, you should definitely be in jail. That being said, I think 98% of the population thinks that. So why are we tearing stuff down and canceling Paw Patrol?
Yeah.
Like, what?
You know what? When you arrest somebody and you put them in handcuffs, you have a moral duty to make sure that that person gets to where they're going safely. And is then booked and tried and has their day in court, and that's the American way.
Yeah,
that you get your day in court. But you have a duty to make sure that that person that you're arresting does not die in your hands.
Exactly. And this dude, people keep bringing up, oh, well, he was on fentanyl, he was on drugs. Look at his past history. I'm like, I don't care. He forged a check, was what you were arresting him for. Like, he should not be dead. I don't care what he was on. You're the idiot that cost him his life. Like, and I think most Americans are looking at it and agreeing with that exact statement.
Right.
But if you keep burning crap down, more and more Americans will find a reason to sympathize with the cop when there's no reason to, but they will, because they'll say, God, look at all this stupidity because we all agreed with you, but you won't listen, you know? And it's a weird thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying we shouldn't even have some, I'm all for like some racial justice and awareness and those kinds of things. Like, I'm not even opposed to that. Just stop burning crap down. Like, stop, you know, stop killing other people because of this.
The dumbest thing ever is to go back in the guy's history and say, well, he did some bad things. What does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Exactly.
I mean, that's ridiculous to be like, you know what? Hey, if one day I get killed by a police officer, please don't go back in my history and be like, well, you know, he was knocking over porta potties when he was 19 years old.
Right.
So this guy is no saint. Well, no kidding. Nobody is. And if you go back far enough in everybody's history, you're going to find a checkered past because we're all human. And,
Talking about you, JT, if somebody dug in your past, this is the story that they would say. Well, a few months ago, he checked himself into a certain rehab org thing because he had a drinking problem and because he had this, that, and the other, you know, and like all this, and he had an addiction to this and he had an addiction to that. And like, they would know none of the actual story. That would just be what was said, you know, like, exactly. I don't blame people for getting pissed off about that. Like, I would be too.
Yeah. I am too. It doesn't justify anything. Like, I don't care if he's killed somebody before. You arrested him for forging a check. You got him in handcuffs. Your duty then is to get him in the car and get him to the precinct and get him booked in, and then let you know, the justice system run its course.
Well, I mean,
nothing that anybody does deserves to be murdered.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. Did you ever watch Dog the Bounty Hunter, JT? Like, that was
all the time.
It was a train wreck of a show. But
yeah,
it does show you something, and most cops operate this way that I know. Okay, so I'm not saying every cop operates this way, but I'm saying most of the ones I know operate this way. Once the guy's in custody, like, all the animosity is gone from the cop or from Dog. Like, Dog's their buddy once he's in handcuffs.
The flip switch, you know, with Dog.
Yeah.
And he was like, cops, hey, man, you want a cigarette? Let's chill out. Yeah. Let's talk, you know?
And most cops are like, that
what
way.
What are you doing with your life?
You know, the majority of police are trained to be exactly that way. Like, once you're detained and subdued, like, they're chill with you then. You know, I mean, they may not like you. I'm not saying they're going to be your buddy like Dog was. But they're still, like, very much, everything I've ever seen is like, okay, situation's over. We're completely decompressed. Everything's good. So, I mean, like, it's just we get so much half information and half stories and all kinds of stuff. And,
right.
And because of that, then we end up with 14,000 conspiracy theories. And like, look, we can all agree that the guy dying is a terrible thing and that somebody should be in jail. And we can also agree that canceling every last thing that you ever think uses a word or you don't like is idiocy. You know? I don't get it.
Right. I mean, it's not going to make bad things go away in the world. Unfortunately. I mean, you know what? You can take away Paw Patrol. That's cool. I'll move on with my life. That's okay. Paw Patrol is not a big deal to me. But, you know, at a certain point, you're going to run out of things to cancel because not everything in the world is appetizing. There's plenty of shows. I watch True TV all the time because Impractical Jokers is always on. There's a show where a lady makes, like, jewelry out of moose turds. It's called Turdy Work. She literally makes like household items and sells them. They're poop. It's poop. There's a show about making stuff from poop.
Oh my God.
I mean, what is that? What is that about? But, you know, I mean, look, there's always going to be something weird out there or something you don't agree with in movies, music, TV. And you know what? If you don't like it, change the channel.
Well,
you don't
exactly.
Have to, you don't like the movie, don't go see it.
We used to live in a world where if you didn't like someone's opinion, you could shrug your shoulders and go, I don't really care for that, and turn around and walk off. Or even not walk off and be like, I disagree with you on that, and that's okay. Like, it's not you. I just disagree with your opinion. Now, you disagree with someone's opinion like you hate that person. They are Hitler if they have an opinion that's wrong from you. You know, like, I cannot disagree with you.
Yeah. They have to fit your worldview. You know what I mean? It's no longer just, I don't like that show, so I'm going to change the channel. It's, I have to have that show off TV.
Because it's like what we talked about, being woke is a religion now. And like, if they can't evangelize you, then they have to punish you. Like, that's the two stories. It's right. Stupid. Lady Antebellum, changing their name to Lady A because the word antebellum is somehow racist. Like, what? It's a time period.
I kid
like,
you not.
What?
An hour and a half ago, I was on my Spotify driving. And Lady Antebellum came up on my shuffle, and it came up as Lady A. They are quick on this name change.
How?
It came up on my screen on my truck as Lady A.
I wonder if that's offensive to transgendered people.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, Lady implies there's one of two genders, so I think they should just go by A.
Yeah.
You know, just take the lady out and just be, we're A.
Or gender-neutral A. Gender-neutral A.
Gender neutral A.
I think Josh had actually tweeted that. It was like gender neutral A. I refuse to listen until you become gender neutral A. I saw people actually praising it.
Makes
like,
sense.
Like, why? Like, what is the point in praising that? Like,
Does it matter? I mean, when I was a kid, I had an album from a band called the Butthole Surfers. I mean, who cares? What the band's, who cares?
Man, it's
they can change
like,
their name to Lady Licks a Lot of Butt. I don't care. It doesn't matter what the name is. Who cares? It's just another way to, honestly, what it is, it's PR, and they're trying to endear themselves to people. Like, see how caring we are.
Yeah.
Who cares what you call yourself?
I can't wait till they cancel Richard Pryor. You know, like Richard Pryor would totally be canceled by these people. Blazing Saddles.
Richard,
they're gonna
I wish
come
he was
for
alive
it, you know?
Today. I wish... If Richard Pryor was alive today, he would be ripping everybody a new one. Him and George Carlin would have so much material to work with the way the world is today.
Oh, no. George Carlin would probably be PC. I think he would. Like, a lot of people like
you
George
think,
Carlin.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think he would totally cave. I think George Carlin would totally cave. Yeah. It makes me sad.
Mr. Seven Words You Can't Say on Television?
Yeah. I know.
He had some crude stuff. He was pretty out there as far as in that time. He was pretty And nowadays his stuff would be pretty middle of the road, but back then he was, you know, pretty out there as far as crude and outrageous.
Yeah, he was. Oh man. Like I'm fine with some things being canceled, like getting rid of, like NASCAR saying no more Confederate battle flags, rebel flags, whatever you want to call them, at the at the tracks. I don't care. So, like, most NASCAR fans gave up worrying about that crap about 30 years ago, and the few that do, no one we all think they're weird anyway, you know? Like, I mean...
Yeah. Even NASCAR fans look at those people like, you hillbilly freak, you're ruining this for the rest of us.
Right.
I brought my wife into the den last night because I turned on the Martinsville race, and it was Mike Joy. Was reading the news about the recent release, you know, 2 hours ago, NASCAR, you know, and read the press release. And they go right to Regan Smith in the infield, standing a socially distant 6 feet away from Bubba Wallace, who, if you guys don't know, if you're not a NASCAR fan, is a black dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's not the first black dude. Let's make that very clear. He's not the first black guy in racing. He's just the most well-known one at this point.
Who was the first? There was Willie T. Ribbs, and who was the his name escapes me. The one who before him, he was actually really good.
Yeah,
golly, I text my dad; he'll tell me.
But we can take off on top of that. Randy Moss owns an entire truck team, or did?
Oh yeah,
it's not like it's a super rarity anymore. It's still more rare.
Brad Daugherty's highly involved in NASCAR. Terrence Mathis, former Falcons wide receiver, owned a racing team at one point. Yeah. But it was surreal and cool to be like, let's go down to Bubba Wallace, who's a black guy driving the number 43, Richard Petty's old number,
for being
with a
Bubba.
Black Lives Matter car. Yeah, right? How cool is that?
Yeah.
A Black Lives Matter paint job where he's got a I Can't Breathe shirt on and a American flag mask on. And it was just so cool to be like, dude, of all the sports that get it, like NASCAR's getting it. Like NASCAR, the most backward sport, the sport that's killed off its own fan base with all their silly rule changes, is the sport that's like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, we're going to roll with this.
Yeah.
Because NASCAR is very much a traveling brotherhood. These guys travel with each other for, golly, 35 races a year. I mean, these guys are kind of family with each other.
I mean,
and so it's really a bunch of other white racers supporting their friend Bubba, who says, look, man, I'm not cool with Confederate flags. That stuff needs to go. And everybody's saying, yeah, he's right. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. has come out and said, that they need to go. And,
well, I mean,
dude, if you want your flag to stay, why don't you try winning the war?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, I think what bothers me about cancel culture is trying to rewrite history. I don't mind even removing some of, like, the Confederate monuments. Like, I don't mind some of that. I think some should stay as a testament of history in a lot of ways. But anyway, regardless of your feelings on that, like, I feel like, okay, so Dukes of Hazzard, right, had the battle flag on the top of the car, right? Like, big deal.
Yeah.
Yet if you watch that show, like, there's no inherent racism in that show other than it's just a white county in Georgia in a lot of ways. But, like, I remember episodes where there were black people in that show, and, like, they even, like, combated the idea of racism intentionally on the show. Like, they went against that on purpose on the show, you know? But it would be canceled just because there was a flag. And you know, a lot of people get into this whole heritage, not hate. I think that's weird. I think you can go way too far with it. I think what a lot of people do is they oversimplify it, though, in saying that the Confederate battle flag represents slavery. Well, yes, it does. And no, it also doesn't. Like, to a lot of boys growing up, it had nothing to do with that directly. Now, it obviously did have things directly to do with that, but in the people's lives that it was connected to, it was, we're not the unionized North, we're not a lot of other things, you know? So, look, there's no doubt the Civil War was about slavery. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying anything about that. But I am saying that people's identities connected to that icon are not simply, oh, I love slavery, so I got a rebel flag in the back of my truck. You know, well, that's not what most of those people think. That being said, it doesn't mean that we don't need to retire it either. You know what I'm saying? Like both can be true. We don't have to cancel the past to say there are things about it that we should change for the present and the future.
Right.
You know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, of course, the Confederate flag has never offended me. And, of course, statues of Confederate generals never offended me. I'm a white male from the South. It doesn't bother me.
Right.
But I've got friends that are black, and if they say it bothers them, well, they got a totally different worldview. And not only them, but their parents and their grandparents grew up in a world that I didn't even know existed. They grew up with a way of life that I have never, thank God, have ever had to deal with. You know, I've never had to be pulled over because of how I looked behind the wheel, and I've never had racial slurs, to my knowledge, ever thrown at me or said to me. Whereas my friends and their parents and their grandparents that grew up in the South most certainly did. So to me, it's not supposed to bother me. But if it bothers my friends and that's my friend, then I'm going to stand up for them and say, well, it's not going to affect my life. If you get rid of Confederate statues and the Confederate flag, I still got to get up and go to work in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to affect my life. I don't really care. You know, but if it means something to them, then sure. Because honestly, if you look at it, say, heritage, not hate, man, go to Ancestry.com because you may have had some ancestors in the South. And you might have had some ancestors that were living up in, like, New Hampshire or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, exactly. I mean, we come from all sorts of places. Our heritage, man, if you're a white male in the South, your heritage is all over. You're Irish, you're Italian, you're German, you've got some Indian in you. It's all over the place. So miss me with that heritage and I hate stuff because you're cherry picking. You're saying this is the heritage I want and this is the identity that I want to show to people. But honestly, like, I've lived in Macon, Georgia pretty much my entire life. I don't know what my heritage is. I'm like 1/16 pretty much everything, you know, and that's just how I am. To me, I'm an American, and I'm a Southerner, and that's kind of how I am. Yeah. The Confederate flag, people say it's not offensive. You can't tell somebody what's not offensive. Like, I don't want to see a white person say the Confederate flag is not offensive. Like, well, of course it's not offensive to you.
I'll buck you a little bit on that, in that I think you have to look at the intent, because, and this is where I have a problem with cancel culture. Like, okay, so we're canceling Paw Patrol because it had a cop in it. Was there anything intended? And I mean, like, blatantly, even like missed, but could not have been really interpreted many other ways, that was an intentional offense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't think there is.
There's
like,
no
that's
ill
stupid.
Intent with
you
Paw
know
Patrol.
What I'm saying? Like, and to be this is the weird thing. Offense is in the person that's offended. Like, you are the person that's offended, not the person offending you, if that makes sense. So it's not saying you're responsible for all of it. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you have to look at the intent of the person to know those things. And you can't always know. And you can't always know the intent. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that you choose to be offended by a thing. It's your choice. Like, you get to choose if something offends you. And if I say something and it offends you, the problem, to some extent, is in you and what offends you. Now, maybe there's a good reason for that because of systemic problems or because of things that have happened in the past that we do need to address. And maybe I need to be more sensitive to what offends you. But at the same time, you can't assign motive to me because you were offended. And that's like, that's a weird thing in our world.
I think one thing about the Confederate flag that always bothered me is I have a grandfather that fought World War II. I have a grandfather that fought in Korea. The Confederate Army was an enemy of the United States. I mean, whether we like to say that or not, being that we live in the South, but I mean, they fought against the red, white, and blue. You know, the flag that I portray, the flag that I enjoy wearing on hats and stupid sunglasses I have. I'm a pretty patriotic dude. They fought against the Stars and Stripes. Yeah. Now, whether that was about states' rights or whether about slavery, and you can have that argument all day long. Fact is, I mean, look, they wanted to rebel against the Union and secede from the Union and start their own thing. And if you want to keep the statues, you want to keep the flag, then win the war.
Yeah.
But if you don't win, you don't get to keep all that stuff.
I think
you know what
the
I mean?
Part that scares me a little bit about all the canceling, like, I have no attachment to the rebel flag, so get rid of it. I don't care. This isn't like me defending the rebel flag because I could care less. But the reason that I'm a little hesitant on some of the statues and stuff is because it tells this story. There were highly respected men with, in some ways, very highly respected values that fought for a cause that had significant flaws. And some of them, significant flaws is very much an understatement. You know, like, if you were fighting to defend slavery, that's a problem. it was also a different culture at the time, so it was a different worldview for the people involved in it. So, like, you got to, like, give them that. It's just a different world. But if we forget that good men get swept up in bad things, I think that's a very dangerous thing, lesson to erase from history.
Oh,
and
you have to cancel majority of the Bible if that was the case. You know?
Yeah, and like all of America.
The Bible is littered with very broken people that were led to do great things. And I grew up in a town called Jeffersonville, Georgia. I'll give you a guess as to who that was named after. It wasn't George Jefferson.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You know, but here's the thing. As I've gotten older, as a Christian, I don't identify myself as a Southerner. I don't see myself first and foremost as an American. I don't first and foremost see myself as a fan of the Georgia Bulldogs or the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Atlanta Braves. My identity comes from someplace else.
Yeah.
So I can disattach, disassociate from a lot of other things, and it does not bother me because that's not where I find my identity.
Yeah.
And there are people that find their identity in the rebel flag and find their identity as a Southerner, and this is what being a Southerner is about.
And find
and
their identity
you,
in their
that's
skin
cool,
color.
Whatever. That's your thing.
And some find their identity in their skin color, be it white, black, whatever, you know. And the problem with that is exactly what you said, JT. Like, we are all unique. And for me, the what frustrates me so much is I've seen white people apologizing for being white. I've seen – and I'm like, no, you're missing the point. Like, for you to do that is, to me, insulting to the people marching, because it's the exact same thing they're on the ground marching for. You're literally saying, I get my identity – from my skin color, so I'm automatically bad. And I'm like, that's why they're in the street marching. Like, they are trying to tell you that's not the way this works.
That you're bad.
Right. I'm not automatically good because I'm black. I'm not automatically bad because I'm black. I am a human being. Judge me by the content of my character. Now, I think sometimes blacks, whites, everyone in between does get caught up in our tribal identity to the point that we let what happens to someone else define our identity, and that's a dangerous place to live. That's a very dangerous place to live.
Right. And you know, I'm never going to – I'm not a guy that's proud to be white because I didn't do anything to be white other than that's just genetic
100%.
Lottery, and that's how I ended up.
Yep.
The only thing I would apologize for is as a Christian and as a follower of Christ, maybe I haven't done enough to be Christ-like in my life, and apparently none of us have.
And as
Christians, then it's on us to be able to do more when we have other brothers and sisters in this world that feel neglected, that feel targeted even by the police, that feel like they're on they get the short end of the stick. That we as the church, as the body of Christ, have not done. I'm turning this into a religious sermon, but then that's on us. And if we're going to apologize for anything, then we need to apologize for not having an open ear and not having an open mind and not being as caring and able to listen. And
I'm a super practical person. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm a super practical person, and I think sometimes what you're saying right there, while I agree with it, I think it can also be a generic cop-out, like, I'm sorry for these things, without really recognizing what specific moments in my life have I not done these things. You know what I'm saying? Like it's one thing to say, I'm sorry for not standing up for black people, but, like, when's a moment in your life that you didn't, and you recognize, like, the root cause of that? Because, look, for me, and other people may disagree on this, but for me, racism is a fruit of a different root. And what I mean by that is it is a root of insecurity in yourself, or pride, which is just insecurity misplaced. And in that case, so racism is a fruit. So, if, like, you can apologize for the fruit all day long, but if you're not dealing with the root of it, the sinful heart, the wrong way of thinking that got you there, then it's just placating words that make you feel better that don't actually change anything about you.
Yeah, you're covering up a flesh wound with a Band-Aid at that point. You know, if you're not getting to the root issue, and the root issue, to be honest with you, is the fact that we are broken people living in a broken world. And that's why if you trace back the history, there's never been a society that hasn't had these problems.
Exactly.
Racism is not an American problem.
And you're not going
racism
to fix.
It's a human issue. It's a heart issue.
you're not going to fix it by moral society either. Like, right. People have tried. Like, you're not going to. You may make things better over time a little bit, but it's just going to shift blame. I mean, if it's not the blacks, it will be the Mexicans. If it's not the Mexicans, it will be the Chinese. If it's not the Chinese, it will be the ones without the money. If you made it all flat and everybody had equal money, it would be the person across the street, because it's a root that yields a fruit of of jealousy, of self-doubt, of insecurity, and all these things. And so you cannot legislate morality that will fix America. Now, there is some legislation that can come that I'm not saying that's bad. Like, it's fine if you try, but just recognize, until, especially as Christians, like you and I are having this conversation as Christians, fixing the American legislative system does not fix the problem. It has nothing to do with the problem the way we see it through our worldview. You know what I mean? Like, there's a different problem here that has to be addressed. So anyway, we've taken the
I think
yeah,
well the last thing I'll say on that is, if this is you, and if you are listening to this and you have a problem, and if you think that people of any race or creed that don't look like you, if there's somebody out there, maybe as black people, and you, for whatever reason, you think that you are better because you look this way and they look that way.
Or worse.
There's nothing you can do to fix, or worse, but there's nothing you can do to fix that, other than you have to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, and ask the good Lord why it is that you're insecure and where it is that you're finding your identity. Because I will promise you this, that if you find your identity in the place where the Bible tells you to get your identity, you will not, I promise you will not be looking at other people that don't look like you and think they're any worse than you are.
Oh, right.
Chinese, whether they're Jewish, whether they're black, if your heart is in the right place, I promise you, you're not going to care whether people are black, white, pink, purple, green, if they're from Mars. It honestly is not going to matter. It's just, we have this human temptation and this human broken side to us where we are tribal. Like you said, there's a tribalism.
Very much, yeah.
And my group is good, and the group that doesn't look like me, they are bad.
Yeah.
And that could be Red Sox, Yankees. That could be Bloods, Crips. My Lord, the history of the Middle East is filled with this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an issue of the heart. And until you address that, you can't legislate it. Taking Paw Patrol off TV won't fix it. There's nothing else that you really can do.
Canceling Cracker Barrel is not going to make anything happen except make me and JT very upset can't eat Cracker Barrel.
You can't take away my biscuits. If I don't get my biscuits and sawmill gravy, I'm going to be very upset. Because
I'm not going to have much identity if you keep taking away my Cracker Barrel.
I don't care what color you are. Those are delicious. I don't care. You can take like somebody from Beijing that's never been to America before, take them right to Cracker Barrel. They're going to love it. Like, you can't not have a good time at Cracker Barrel. It's delicious. No matter the time of day.
And I'm sorry, hanging antiques on the wall, there's nothing racist about antiques being on the wall. I'm sorry. Like, nothing. Zero.
No, I've never looked at a cast iron skillet and been like, oh, that's racist. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, hey, JT, did you know the Braves had a draft?
What? Oh, here we go. Sports. Cool.
Sports.
Yes.
Man. Sports. Did you know sports was happening?
How about this?
Sport ball.
Sports is happening. There was NASCAR. There was golf going on this weekend, and the MLB draft.
Yeah.
All five rounds of it.
All right. So,
which is crazy. But.
So the Braves have selected three people now in this year's draft. They selected in the first round Jared Schuster, a lefty from Wake Forest. He's 6'3", 210. So this guy is basically a tiny bit
lanky
Sean Newcomb that throws really hard.
Newcomb's a large fella.
He is.
Newcomb's a big dude.
Jared Schuster touches 97 on the gun, and he also has an amazing changeup, but he has a lot more control than Newcomb, or at least he showed it this last year. So big arm, more control. He said that he's always patterned his game after Cole Hamels and Clayton Kershaw. So that's two pretty good ones.
Not
to
bad.
Pattern,
not bad.
Pattern your game after. In the
don't tell Josh this, but I read a draft recap this morning on a, I don't want to say this out loud, but on Talking Chop.
Oh my God!
And yeah, they did talk about his plus changeup, which is good. Good control. Now he was slotted, you know, basically mock drafts had him going lower than where the Braves picked him, so maybe a little bit of a reach. But in baseball, there is a financial strategy there, you know.
They would do that. I had heard Reach initially, but I saw some other people that had this kid ranked higher too. So, and when I say higher, I'm not saying like way higher, but some people had him ranked like 77. Well, the Braves took him at 25, okay? But another ranking I saw had him at 27. So it really just depends whose board you were looking at, I think. I really think this is the guy the Braves wanted. But it may save them some money, too, along the way, you know.
And this also just tells you how hard it is to do, like, mock drafts on baseball. Because, like, NFL draft comes around, Cincinnati Bengals need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is sitting there with the greatest college quarterback season of all time. He's from Ohio. Well, duh, they're probably going to take Joe Burrow number one. It's needs-based. Well, baseball drafting is not needs-based, and sometimes you got to remind the people on Facebook that, because I'm sure there are plenty of people in Braves Facebook groups saying, we got enough pitchers. We need hitters. This isn't need-based. It's really just going on whoever they may have on their board as the best player available at the time that they're drafting. Needs don't really factor into baseball drafts at all. So it's really hard to get an idea as far as doing a proper mock draft, because you have no idea. Take out team needs, and you have no idea what their board may look like. The Braves may value Schuster a lot higher than some other teams may, and that's just their personal preference.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to kind of go off mock drafts, because basically your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. So in the second round, they took Jesse Franklin, the fifth. How long you got to hang around to be the fifth? That's pretty cool. You know, just
at least five generations by my math. Now, they didn't take all five, right? The other four are still free agents. They just took the fifth one.
Yeah, yeah, apparently so. Just the fifth one.
Okay.
He played in Michigan. He's an outfielder. He's a quick little dude, but he's got a lot of pop and bat that he was taking for his bat. Dude can hit. He's got a 50 hit tool, a 55 power, I think, on the draft grade that I saw. So, you know, look, interesting thing here. In the last 3 years that Alex Anthopoulos has been in charge of the Atlanta Braves and their drafts, the Braves have taken all but one college players in the first three rounds of all three of those drafts. The one player that they didn't take, the one high school player, Carter Stewart, who the Braves failed to sign. So interesting draft strategy there that they're going for, you know, development over potential in some ways.
And keep in mind, too, the Braves are coming into this draft with a brand new scouting department from what they had previously, too. So,
yeah,
so you can't really go on tendencies. I do wonder, I mentioned to you before we started recording, you know, how much the inability to sign Carter Stewart for all those varied reasons may have factored into them going the college route. To me personally, I'd always prefer college players. The physical and mental maturity to me is, at 21 years old as compared to 18 years old, I mean, you know, you're just a much different person.
I think it's also, I think this could be shadow casting for the CBA too. If you're looking ahead, I have a feeling that the next CBA may mess with player service time, like when they start at the big league level. And maybe even the minor league level. I'm not sure how that's going to play out. So they may be looking at players they can get to the majors more quickly so they don't lose service time and stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. There's nothing, of course, official on any of that right now. There's not even much speculation on that. That's just Ken brainstorming thinking there. But I could see
– and there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, having more guys like on the verge, starting pitchers on the verge of making the majors – man, you can't have enough of those kind of guys.
Especially when you've got really solid depth already. You've already got some studs in the system, you know, either at the pro level or coming.
Exactly.
You know.
And you look at the future of the Braves pitching rotation. I mean, we already know about Mike Soroka and Max Fried. And you know, think of a guy like Mike Fultonevich as like a senior citizen amongst this pitching rotation. But he really is, because he's like 28 years old. And then, you know, guys like Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson. You know, I mean, there's a lot of dudes. And then there's so many that we don't name that aren't at the forefront of our minds in double A and single A that are still very, very talented pitchers.
Yeah.
the Braves have so many. Their farm system is still so deep and so good, which is a far cry from what it was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. The next pick, let's see, I guess it's third round technically. Or no, it was a fourth round pick, I'm sorry. Pick 126, the Atlanta Braves selected Spencer Strider, a pitcher from Clemson, South Carolina. He's a four-year junior and 6 foot, 195 pounds. Spencer Strider, wow. I don't know a whole lot about Spencer except for he went to Clemson, so I'm sorry for him. But
he knows there's PED testing in the majors, right? You know those kids from Clemson. As Cousin Ken will tell you, they've been known to take some steroids every now and then. So it's just saying.
Yeah, he was born in Ohio, was previously drafted in the 35th round by the Cleveland Indians in 2017 before attending Clemson. So he's got a little pedigree there, a little interesting. And
Clemson's got a great ball club, too. I mean, sometimes it's like you kind of tend to go chalk in these drafts. And like, hey, okay, like if you're in the NFL, okay, give me the best available guy from the SEC because they play the best competition. You know, they come from the South where football is king. And sometimes in baseball, it's kind of like that. Well, give me the best guy from the dominant college baseball teams. Clemson's got a heck of a program there. They churn out guys left and right. They're not quite Vanderbilt, but Clemson has a great pedigree for churning out pros. So, I'm no baseball GM, but give me a guy that can succeed at that level in the ACC where there's a lot of great teams. You know, probably a good thing.
Yeah. So Strider, he missed 2019 because of elbow surgery.
The Braves love that.
Yeah, so this is probably like a low pool kind of thing. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Be interesting to see what happens. Maybe he can take a few strides forward.
Heyo. Is there a legit? It seems like this, and I don't know if there's a legit strategy. But it seems like the Braves do tend to go with guys who have already had an elbow surgery out of the way, because now that medicine has advanced, now when you get Tommy John, your elbow is bigger and better than it was before.
You know,
it's not like it used to be where if you tore your ligaments, it was just degenerative.
Yeah. Is this the generation of kids, though? And obviously this kid wasn't, but is this the one, like, are those kids finally getting up where, like, they all just decided to have elbow surgery when they were 17 and get it over with?
You know.
And so everybody has elbow surgery.
A lot of the older guys. Well, you hear a lot of these older guys. I know John Smoltz is a big proponent of this. That kids get specialized at a young age to where they're a freshman in high school and they quit playing basketball. They quit playing football. And it's baseball, baseball, baseball all year round to where you're playing on your spring high school team and then you're playing fall ball and then you got travel ball in the summer and you're pitching.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you look at guys like Smoltz was a great basketball player and Glavin, of course, played hockey. And guys were, you know, it used to be that you played sports and you played whatever was in season. And then you kind of settled on whatever was you were best at. And nowadays, it seems like the kids that are so specialized and they've been doing nothing but pitching since they were 13 years old, they are needing surgery at a really young age. You know, sometimes that can turn out okay because you get it over with and your elbow, you have Tommy John at 18 years old, and your elbow is stronger than ever by the time you're 20. So I guess there is a plus side to that, but I don't know, man. It seems like there's a red flag, but again, these are pitchers you can get at a discount, you know, that may fall to you in the draft because of those red flags. So it depends on how you want to play the game.
There's going to be hate, you know. A lot of people aren't going to like what's happening. Maybe they're saving money here going for this and going to take a late fifth-round pick and try to sign somebody. I don't know. This is a little weird pick. This guy, he had four starts before COVID shut everything down. He had a 4-plus ERA. He can touch 97 in mid-90s. So, I mean, maybe there's some potential there. I don't know. It's a little bit of a weird pick. He wasn't ranked in anybody's top 200. So either the Braves know something that no one else does, which is very possible. Because let's be honest, people on draft day have no idea what they're talking about, even if they've seen players, like, no one knows what's going to happen. But
they don't. Drafting in baseball is, like, such a crapshoot. Like, you could put, like, your top 12 guys on a dartboard and just throw a dart and pick one of those. Cause
pretty much.
It's so hard to project how these guys are going to turn out and whether these guys make the majors or not. I mean, go through the draft 5 years ago and look at the first-round picks and tell me how many of those guys are contributing on the major league level right now. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this today's episode of Not Combination Podcast Show. If I can talk, we'll see.
There you go. You got it.
Thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit. And
Welcome, Ken.
And the birds and the bees and the chirping crickets.
And some semi trucks going by in the distance. You know,
it works.
I wanted to bring you the full ambiance of what it's like sitting in my backyard.
I like it. I like sitting in your backyard.
It's like bringing the viewers into my humble abode and hanging out with me by my fire pit in my backyard. So
nice.
So this is what it's like.
I want to sit in your backyard and have a beer with you, JT, like I do.
Ken, anytime you are in this part of the country, buddy, you're more than welcome to come over. We can have some, you know what? I'll do up some whistle pig just for me and you, and we can sit by the fire. How about that?
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. Hey, thanks for listening. If you guys would like to support Not Combination, listen to what the really cool guy with the awesome voice is about to tell you. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.